This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And if you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Golden State Valkyries next Friday night, home opener, first ever WNBA season, first ever WNBA game here in the city. We're giving you a chance to win another pair of tickets. This segment, now, this segment behind the curtain is beefy. It's big. Because me and Dibs were tough, and we have no problem just talking forever. So this is, but just, we're here. It's the 5 o'clock hour. And at some point here in the next handful of 15, 20, 25 minutes, we've got another chance for you to win a pair of tickets and get into that game. Just keep listening for the cue to call, okay? The contest line, I think most of you have it. I'll give it to you again a little bit later on in the hour. Don't call now. Keep listening for the cue to call. We will have you ready to win a pair of tickets to see the Valkyries. All right. Back to the regular phones, though. Let's go to Alex. He's on 101. Hi, Alex. What's going on?
Not too much. It's hot out here in my truck, but
it's a beautiful day.
You know, waiting to get on the line has been exhilarating. And I just wanted to rewind a couple minutes when you guys were talking about that's Dibley, right? His voice getting a little haggard.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Well, I wanted to talk about your voice, Willard, because I notice sometimes on Sunday when I'm puttering around, I flip the radio on and, like, I hear you on the radio.
Yeah.
And then I watch Sunday Night Baseball, and then you're doing the games for ESPN. You must be doing those Sunday shows, like, remotely from wherever the baseball game is.
All right. So my first response is somebody owes me a whole lot of money. Because if I'm doing Sunday Night Baseball for ESPN, I have not seen $1 from it yet in my life. Alex, you are accurate that I do host on Fox Sports Radio on Sunday nights. I do that from my home. I do not do Sunday Night Baseball for ESPN. You have confused that voice with another human.
A voice like that.
I don't John know. Shambi? John Shambi? Boog?
Oh, Boog Shambi and I have, by the way, something. Go ahead, Alex.
No, he's doing the color commentating. He's the only other person that has a voice.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. That's, his name, I'm blanking. Eduardo? Is that, I'm blanking on the last name.
Perez?
Eduardo Perez.
There you go. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. Yeah, me and Eduardo Perez get
what is going on here?
Mistaken for each other a lot.
Yeah, you were gonna say that you and Boog have something in common.
Me and Boog have something big in common, and it's not throwing potatoes.
I was just gonna ask you if it involves a potato.
It kind of involves it involves a potato, but not throwing it at someone.
A love of French fries.
No, the fact that we both worked the same job in Idaho. Home of the potatoes.
Gotcha.
Boog Shambi was my predecessor as the number two broadcaster with the Boise Hawks minor league club of the Angels at the time. I think they're an affiliate maybe of the Cubs. Maybe they're independent now. That stuff changes all the time. But back in the 90s, Boog was right before me as a minor league broadcaster with the Boise Hawks. And when I got there, they were like, dude, you got big shoes to fill. The guy that was here got a big job with ESPN, and we think he's going to do really well. And now he's become like the man. Yep. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal baseball broadcaster. But they were like, but that's good. Like, the job that you have is good luck. It's good luck. It's going to lead to big things. Boy, were they wrong. Here I am with you.
Oh, boy, stuck with the Dibber, exactly. Talking about potatoes and Draymond Green.
Don't be disrespectful.
Totally.
Oh, my God. Eduardo.
Well, you know, you learn something every day.
It must be a Friday at 5 o'clock. My God.
Yep.
Come on, dude. That's funny. Eduardo Perez and me. Same guy.
I'll have to listen to his voice. I don't know if he has the same sort of deep voice as you. I'm trying to think about it in my head, and I'm not really getting it lined up.
Yeah, a little baritone-y, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, sound like a big dumb guy, you know, kind of a thing. Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, all right, 888-957. Man, I'm underpaid. That's like Dave Fleming would look at that schedule and be like, it's a little busy. You might want to chill out and, like, drop a job or two.
With Shambi?
No, if I actually was also doing Sunday Night Baseball in addition to Fox Sports Radio at the same time. That's pretty tough.
Right.
Slim could do it, but not many.
So in between pitches, you're talking to Ephraim, and then, like, you know, you got to analyze a baseball game and then back to Ephraim?
I mean, it's kind of what I was doing the show in the middle of the Warrior game, Game 7 last Sunday night.
No doubt.
I wasn't paying attention to a damn thing Ephraim was saying.
Yeah.
And he knew it. I like just, yeah, I like what you said. You should say it again.
Yeah, say it longer this time, you know. Warriors up 5. Go ahead and say that again, Ephraim.
Oh, God. All right, let's go to Tim in Walnut Creek. Hi, Tim. What's going on with you?
What's up? Well, actually, you hear me?
Yes, we do.
First caller?
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to tell Dibs that I'm actually not from Walnut Creek. I live in the creek, and I'm the guy he threw the tomato at. Just kidding.
Okay.
Oh, if you had held the just kidding for a little longer, that I would have liked that delivery even better because you would have scared the crap out of him. But you said tomato, not potato.
Right.
So that was a clue.
Ah, shit.
Oh, that's even worse. Well, all right, there goes
there
Tim.
There you go. There goes Tim. And also, the individual...
There you go, YouTube.
The individual at whom I threw the potato, I guarantee had a much deeper voice than Tim. But there you go. That's what I used to...
Oh my God.
I would chalk that up right there, Mark, when I was a preschool teacher. That was a classic, nice try, don't cry, for Tim. Nice try, don't cry.
That was my favorite moment of the week by far.
It's pretty good. Oh, Casey Schmidt. You know, it happens. Schmidt happens.
Okay, that guy waited on hold for I'm not even sure how long so that, A, he could lie to you and say he was the one you threw the tomato at.
Right.
Even though it wasn't a tomato, and when we called him out on it, he said, oh, Schmidt, and left.
Yep.
All right.
It happens. It's a Friday. It's hot out there in the creek. It's 90 out there in the East Bay today. Make sure you hydrate, folks.
It's very warm.
No doubt.
It's very warm. By the way, we're going to keep going with the calls. This just popped into my head. What temperature would you want it to be if you could choose for every day forever? Like, how hot do you want it?
80.
80.
80.
I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, 80.
I'm kind of with you, which is in a lot of places in the Bay, that's about what it is today. Depends if you're inland, if you're by the water, whatever.
I wonder what it is here in San Francisco. It's probably 72 or 3,
we've been in here for about 4 hours, though.
Right.
I could look it up right now.
Yeah.
It's 72 right now where we are.
Yeah, that's what I was just guessing, 72, 73,
nice
which is...
Nice job.
That's close to perfect. 80 might actually be a little warm. 78 might be the number, but just ballparking it, 80 is good. 80 is warm but not hot, and you get a sense that, you know, you're certainly not going to be cold. You get to 70, 70 is a nice number.
70 is a good number.
But I do think that 80 is a good solid number.
I agree with you.
Might be a little warmer than 77. I don't know.
I'm going to miss a couple shows next week because we're going to be in an exotic locale.
Okay. What's the forecast for your exotic locale?
Well, this is why I brought it up. Christy and I are driving around today, and she's bummed. She's bummed because the forecast is like every day is like either 79 or 80. And she's like, that's not hot enough.
Oh, wow.
It needs to be 20 degrees hotter.
No. Like, I mean.
What? She's like, yes, we get older. I like it even warmer.
Interesting.
I'm like, my God. Like, we're going to be going out and doing activities. I mean, yeah, there'll be pools and stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
Like, it'll be fine. But I'm like, 80 sounds amazing. She's like, too cold.
Wow.
So that's why I asked.
Yeah.
I was curious what your number was. Because, yeah. Rock me an 80 or an 85, happy. Because then it gets to night and you're still in the 70s.
Right, right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
85 is about the breaking point where it starts to be a little bit too hot. I don't like it so hot that when I get in my car and, you know, your car's been sitting in the sun and now your car is like 103 degrees because it's 85 out. I think 80 is a good number. 80
is a good number.
Yeah, even if the sun's beating down on your black all leather interior, then it's you know it's a Honda, whatever. It still isn't going to be too hot when you get in the car.
Let's see, well, a bunch of YouTube. JB, I'm too fat for anything above 80. Loco Moco likes 72. A lot of 72s. Apollo Crew 75. Yeah, everybody likes somewhere between like mid 70s to low 80s. All right. Cool, so she was wrong. I just wanted to make sure.
That, scoreboard.
Yeah. I got strength in numbers over here.
Well, and when it gets below like 70, and as a man with no hair, it gets cold in a hurry.
Sure.
And, you know, then you start thinking about beanies and hats and the whole thing.
And you lost all that weight, so you don't have anything on your bones anymore.
Skinny and bald. Like, if it gets below 70, your boy's shivering.
You look like a hamstring.
Well, again, I don't even know how to take that.
Anyway, let's go to
It's like being one of those hairless cats. You ever see those? You've seen the cats that are like,
what is going on here?
I've totally seen them. Yes.
Yeah, I'm much more like a hairless cat than I am a hamstring.
These former employers like purposely got a hairless cat.
I mean,
it's just the most unsettling thing of all time. Like, I got nothing to. No, don't look at me. Like
no, I have to. I'm giving you my hairless cat face. All whiskers and eyes. We had a cat. Oh, my ex-wife God. And I. We 10 seconds, and we'll go to the phones.
Probably not.
The neighbor cat. The neighbors moved out. They abandoned their cat. Their cat was so matted.
Oh, that's awful.
Their cat was so matted with hair that we had to take the cat and have all the hair
shaved
off.
Yeah.
And so then Furby, rest in peace. We had a hairless cat, and this cat was all face, no hair. And I was like, dude, that's one ugly cat. God.
I never knew of all the impressions you do. The impression of a hairless cat is probably the best one you
Thank
do.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to try to compose myself. Lucky in the city. Hi, Lucky. What are you doing?
I'm actually sitting out here in front of the cookie store, man, burning up. And I'm cracking up at you, Mark.
Whew.
Man. You got a future in comedy, man, because you are roasting my man, Dave. What's up with that?
What kind of Lucky? He called me a hamstring, Lucky.
Yeah,
he's a hamstring. Yeah, I'm a big cookie connoisseur. What kind of cookies are you about to go get?
Probably some Hannah butter or whatever it's called, man.
Oh,
I
yeah.
It's just good, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's
Friday, baby.
Just to add on to that, man, just imagine your old lady or your wife, Mark, getting a shirt with a picture of the alien in the Mona Lisa fit and saying that's the size of your head. That's what I get. So what you just gave him is like, nice ass bar. I got 100 miles an hour heater at my head.
That's crazy. God. That's funny. All right, Lucky, what do you got on the Warriors here?
You know what I got, Mark, man. I'm a positive, optimistic Warrior fan, man. So you guys are saying we're in what fear of losing what maybe two or three. I say we can get the next two out of three or four. If Steph's going to be out until Game 6, I say we can get two with our squad. They're talented enough. They know the system. Jimmy Butler is there. Draymond knows how to play when he wants to. Loon is still there. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go get two of these. Get the chef back, and let's go forward. I'm ready.
Lucky, I don't listen. I do not hate that at all. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. All I'm saying, and Lucky, thank you, man. Enjoy the cookies. All I'm saying is I do think that in the back of your minds, especially when you're assessing what you see, this is just me. Give the Warriors a little grace here. They just lost Steph Curry. Okay? You know what we haven't even brought up today? The emotional side of that and how that affected last night's game. If you're a longtime Bay Area sports fan, remember the play that changed the rule at the plate when Buster Posey broke the ankle? The Giants went on an immediate losing streak for a long period of time. And it was like they just couldn't function emotionally. They had lost their heartbeat. So last night, Steve is exploring different lineups. Players are playing who haven't been playing. And the team is getting used to life without their heartbeat, man. Like, give them a little grace. That's really all I'm saying. And prepare yourself for that this may not work. Like, this is really hard, what is now being asked of the Warriors. By no stretch does that mean they can't do it. Not at all. I wouldn't be shocked if they won both home games. Maybe mildly surprised.
I would be shocked if they won both home games. Shocked.
Really?
Absolutely.
Huh. I wouldn't be, nothing would shock me. I mean, you got Cleveland and Boston losing game one and two at home.
Right.
Nothing would shock me.
Well, those are losses to teams that are fully healthy and compromised.
Yeah.
And, you know, or composed rather. And I don't think that the Warriors are even any semblance of what they would be. Now, if Steph were still playing and it was 1-1 coming home, I would not be shocked if they won both of those games. And I look at game two, in certain stretches of that game without Steph Curry, and you're trying to figure out who's going to work and what combinations and the rest of it. And even through it all, there were long stretches of that game where the Warriors were not only competitive, but they were better than Minnesota throughout portions of the game. You go down 13-0, it's going to be tough for a team that normally front runs to go out and win that game, yet you were down 13-0, and up until early in the fourth quarter, you played them pretty evenly from that point going forward. So I saw a lot of things that the Warriors can lean on in game three, and if it doesn't work, they can lean on it in game four. I expect at least a split. I would expect a split.
That's definitely the most likely outcome.
The second most likely to me would be you drop them both. The third most likely would be you win them both.
You may be right, and I still wouldn't be shocked. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't think that that Minnesota has looked great. I think that Chase is a hard place to come get a victory. I think the Warrior defense is really good, and defense plays this time of year. And so, to me, that's probably going to be good enough to get one of them. And this may very well look exactly like the Houston series did in games 3 and 4 here. The Warriors came out without a star, and they were wobbly in the first half, but then they found themselves, went on a little run, and won the game. And then their star came back. Now, that won't happen in this particular case, but then their star came back, and man, we peacocked into game four. We're up 2-1, and Jimmy's back. So we peacocked into that game. And then we got a big lead right away, and everyone's like, ooh, it's going to be party time. And then from that moment forward, it got hard and came all the way down to Şengün from 12 feet,
yep.
and he missed. It may be like that. Like, if they need to get both, one of them is going to be by the razor of their chin. But, yeah, like, none of the three scenarios would shock me. Mild surprise if they can get them both.
I would be shocked if they got them both, and I would be less surprised if they lost them both. I do think that the split is most likely, and if you're going to get a split in whatever game you get the win, a couple of things are going to have to absolutely be present. First and foremost, you're going to have people be able to shoot the basketball, and that's outside of Buddy. And, you know, Draymond and Jimmy, not great three-point shooters. And if you're going to play Kuminga and TJD, and we'll have the Steve Kerr comments from today coming up very shortly, neither of them is a three-point shooter either. So guys who you do have, Pods, GP2 from the corner, Buttered, guys who are good at shooting the three, they're going to have good nights from the three
for sure.
In order for you to pull off either one of these.
But you know that tends to happen a lot more at home than it does on the road. Moses Moody is shooting over 40% from three at home. He's shooting down close to 30% on the road.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't even know how much he's going to get. But I don't know that this is true. I feel like we talked about it one time before, but Brandon Pajemski, I feel like, has at least a better shot to have a big night at home than he does on the road. His shot is just a little bit off. God, it feels like a lot of momentum-changing three balls have been in his hands, and he's missed them all.
Yeah.
He's missed them all the last couple games.
He's averaging 15.3 a night in the postseason in the three home games.
Yeah.
He had 10, he had 26, and he had 10. And when he had 26, that was game four, and that was a win. So I'm thinking about that performance, and you mentioned it. You needed a Şengün miss, well guarded by Draymond Green, to hold on and win that, and a great Jimmy Butler rebound. But that game, as I'm going back in my mind, that was a game where Pods was on an absolute heater, and you're probably going to need a game like that from somebody like Pods in order to get one of these wins at home.
Yep, 888-957-9570. We'll keep taking your calls. Pair of Valkyries tickets for next Friday night is coming up within the next 10, maybe 12 minutes or so. Jonathan in Crystal Springs is next up. Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for calling.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. First of all, Dibs, I want to squash our beef from yesterday. This is Jonathan from Mariners Point. I got no problem with you, my man. There's got to be a stack ranking, and it is what it is.
It's all love, Jonathan. I never took real umbrage. I just felt like your ranking was a little geographically biased, and for that, I took some umbrage, but I'm okay.
Hold on, you just said you didn't take umbrage, but then you said you did take umbrage. So did you or did you not take that umbrage?
You know what? Wow. There was some umbrage.
Yeah.
There was umbrage is umbrage, and umbrage is umbrage. There was some lowercase u umbrage, but I'm over it now, Jonathan. We're friends again.
I love it. It's great to be back from another golf course.
Yeah, I was going to say, you went from Mariners Point to Crystal Springs. Are you on tour, Jonathan?
I'm currently fun employed, so I'm working on my golf game.
Good for you,
so
man.
So great.
Good for you. What's the handicap right now these days?
He's an 11.
11. I'm an 11.
Dude, how do you do that?
I don't know. It's just based on Jonathan's relative age and the fact that he's playing at courses of this ilk would tell me that he's not elite. He'd be playing at better courses. But he probably was a 14 or a 15 when he had a job. And now that he has no job, that number's coming down.
Crystal Springs is a pretty great course.
I love the Springs.
Yeah. Give Dibs a ding, Grandy. Give him a ding. That was really good.
Thank you.
Like, that was not, he just picked a number out of a hat. Jonathan, you're like a straight up 11, huh?
Incredible, yes. You said my age. How old am I?
You're probably.
What's your guessing game is?
Well, honestly.
Blink 182, what's my age again?
Yep. See, he's out of work and he's golfing, which tells me that he probably doesn't have a house full of kids. He may have a kid. I'm going to put you, Jonathan, at 32 with a birthday coming up in September.
I appreciate the guess. You're very incorrect. I am 44. I have a house and two kids.
Oh.
But hey, damn. I can't get them all right. That's why it's a guess.
44?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Buzzer. Is your birthday in September, Jonathan?
No, God, no. April.
February 13th.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh, same birthday as John Bloom, voice of the Suns.
I love John Bloom.
I love John Bloom. All right, go ahead. Jonathan, maybe this is John Bloom. No, anyway, go ahead, Jonathan. What do you want to say about the Dubs tomorrow?
All right, first of all, Steve Kurslander needs to stop. Everyone praised him after game seven, how genius he was. That's what he's doing right now, just playing chess, not checkers, figuring out it's going to work. But for us to win one of these next two, which I do believe we will, I'm going to give you guys the choice of which will happen. Pre-Jimmy Butler, Jonathan Kuminga comes back. Moses is able to part the sea of bricks that he's been shooting for the last month and make some shots. Or we get true playoff Jimmy and he becomes an alpha scorer. Which of the three is the most likely to happen?
Hmm. Okay, thanks, Jonathan, and have a good round.
Yeah.
Okay, so for everybody who, let's recap that. What's the most likely of these three? what he called pre-Jimmy Butler Jonathan Kuminga, and I want to like grab what that means because that could mean something totally different from January to December to November. Like, it's not like Jonathan was always scoring 25 a night pre-Jimmy Butler, but right before Jimmy's arrival and the injury and whatnot, Jonathan was playing his best basketball. So does that guy come back? Does Moses Moody find it and start contributing, or does playoff Jimmy show up and start scoring 35 or 40 in the game tomorrow night? What do you think is the most likely of the three?
It's the last one, playoff Jimmy.
Really?
Kuminga, just looking it up, in the 17 games before he got hurt, he was averaging 20 a night, 19.8. So that is the JK to which he was referring. I don't think that Kuminga shows up. I think Kuminga can be impactful. I don't know if he's going to be 20 a night.
I mean, Moses Moody, 18 last night.
He did. He was great. He was terrific. But Moses Moody getting out of the brick house, that's the one I'm hoping for. But I look at Jimmy Butler as a guy who is most likely of those three scenarios to kick into the gear that so many people want him to be in, even though he said last night, like, I'm going to play the right way. Everybody who's clamoring for me to shoot 30 times, well, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Well, I think because Butler's going to play the right way, the answer for me is Jonathan Kuminga. Because Jonathan Kuminga, I think, found at least some sort of a rhythm last night, and I hope it's that decisiveness. I don't know that he's going to be hot, but decisive. Just go. If you miss the shot, you miss the shot. Go. Stop standing there and going, do this. What about this? What about this? No, go. Just go. And he started doing that, and it led to dividends. And look, they're obviously going to need him, and I think he's probably going to play north of 25 minutes in this game, potentially. If he plays well, at least he will. So I think Kuminga for 20 points is, again, I'm not predicting it, but of the three, I'll take that as most likely. I'll take that as most likely. All right, the Steve Kerr sound is coming soon. Not quite yet, but we're going to give that to you here in just a few minutes. But at some point in like just the next really, really few minutes,
yeah,
we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Valkyries next Friday night. Their home opener, their first ever game that counts in San Francisco, is next Friday night. We've got our second pair of tickets to give away. We're going to do that on the contest line in just a handful of minutes. The contest line is 415-523-4652. Don't call now. You won't win. Listen for the sounder. It's coming very, very soon.
Awesome. Just one quick postscript on Kuminga from last night. Five rebounds. He had five rebounds. Something that you and I were talking about going into the game. Like, JK, no matter what happens with the scoring, you need to get in there and be active on the glass. And he actually got five rebounds, which, you know, you'd like to see seven or eight, but five is better than one.
Yep, he was their third leading rebounder. You also know my Kuminga thing, though, which he did not do, which is make your free throws.
Well, that was big.
Make your free throws.
In the first half, they were down 11 or 13, and he got fouled, and it's like, okay, and he missed them both.
Yeah, clankety clank. He went that one was, for yeah. four. So yeah. I have always been supportive of a Jonathan Kuminga who makes his free throws. Not the best decision maker, but yes, dude, you're going to get fouled a lot. Make your free throws. And he had done better. He had been doing so much better this year. So I hope he's hitting his free throws tomorrow night. All right, there it is. Contest time. It is on. Let's go. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to the first ever regular season home game for the Golden State Valkyries? It is a week from tonight on May 16th. All you need to do is be caller number 5 on the contest line right now, 415-523-4652. That's the number. Caller 5 is the winner, 415-523-4652. Pair of tickets to see the Valkyries open this thing up next Friday night at Chase Center on May 16th. And remember, for those of you who don't win, thank you very much for trying, and tickets are available at valkyries.com. Here we go, man.
Good luck.
Another pro team here in the Bay.
And it's a hot ticket. I was just looking at the tickets at valkyries.com, V-A-L-K-Y-R-I-E-S.
Nice job.
And yeah, you're welcome. The cheapest ticket on the resale market is $85.
Whoa.
So I'm not saying that oh boy, don't go because it's so expensive. No, but it just shows you how hot of a ticket, especially this first game, is.
Interest is very, very high. Obviously, we got another game at Chase Center tomorrow night, though. That is the Warriors and Wolves in Game 3. Steve Kerr had media availability today to talk about the state of the team and tomorrow night's game. Let's let you hear all of that. Here's Steve Kerr from earlier today.
What stuck out watching the game back from last night?
I think just how well Minnesota played, how physical they were getting to the loose balls, on rebounds. They generated a lot of extra possessions. And it's kind of what you would expect, you know, from a team at home down 1-0. You watch the rest of the games in the playoffs. It's always a theme, how teams respond to losses. And now it's our turn to do that.
Draymond was, you know, of course, kind of a major talking point nationally again today. How did you see, like, I don't know, I assume you guys met for film. How was he today? Just, I guess, how do you see the discourse and the situation and the technical kind of all that kind of impacting?
I don't think it'll impact the game. I wasn't aware of what happened in terms of the fan yelling the insults until I read about it this morning. So I talked to him about that, and we did talk about the, you know, the technical count and just the whole set of circumstances. But I know Draymond well. He's going to be ready to go tomorrow. He's going to play a great game. He understands where we are in the series, and, you know, we have this great opportunity. And you know, it's 1-1, and we've got home court advantage. We got our home crowd tomorrow, so he's excited. I'm excited, and you know, we move past all that stuff.
I'm assuming we're not going to be able to talk to him prior to the game. So, I mean, is there anything about that fan situation that you guys as an organization can share, or just any more details? It was relatively vague.
The only thing I can say is that the Timberwolves handled it perfectly, you know, for their security to be on it and to remove the fan. Obviously, that stuff is ugly and unacceptable. And so we want to thank the Timberwolves organization for handling it as well as they possibly could. And I just think that things like this happen occasionally. Happened to me, you know, a couple times as a player. You know, fans crossing the line, yelling stuff at you. It's painful. I can't sit here and claim to know what it would be like, you know, to be in Draymond's shoes as a black man, to hear, you know, racially insensitive comments like that. But I've heard my share of stuff that's really painful and hurtful, and it's not ideal. But you always want the support of the security and the crowd, the home crowd, and I, like I said, the Wolves handled that beautifully, and Draymond is handling it really well.
A lot of yesterday was obviously about, you know, finding rotations that work in this series. How much now, how quickly do you have to move to, like, okay, pare down the rotations, make your choices, and go?
Yeah, we have to move pretty quickly now. I thought last night was a great chance for us to see a lot of different people in action, different combinations. You know, now having watched the tape a couple of times, I have a much better sense of what I'm going to do, who I'm going to start, you know, what the combinations will be like off the bench. And, of course, I'm not going to share any of those things with you.
Last night when you guys were able to generate offensive advantages, what were some of the keys? What did you notice when you guys were able to generate advantage?
Nothing unusual. You know, the game is pretty simple. You know, if you can play with pace and get the ball moving side to side, it softens up the defense. I thought when we ran into trouble, we were too isolation heavy. You know, we kind of stuck several people into late clock situations with, you know, one-on-one situations, which are very difficult. I think we threw Moses the ball twice with 3 seconds on the shot clock and you know, basically disjointed possessions that led to, you know, those circumstances. So we've just got to be sharper execution-wise with our pace and our screening and, you know, getting the ball swung, all those things.
Steve, Jonathan Kuminga, hi, this is Kareth. Jonathan Kuminga had a really explosive game last game, and as you think about your combinations and who he's on the floor with, are some of those questions of how he plays with Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green still on your mind?
Well, first of all, I was so impressed with J.K. and his play, but more importantly, just the way he's handled everything the last couple of weeks, staying ready, continuing to work. And, you know, it was really important for him to get some rhythm, get some confidence, and I saw all of that last night. I think, you know, what I said the other day, Kareth, I think rings true today. Everything has to be thrown out the window now without Steph. And so everything we've been doing the last, you know, month or two has been based on finding a formula that worked and sticking with that formula. And it's gotten us to this point. We're in a great spot. We're in the second round. We're, you know, 1-1 coming home. But there's no Steph. So everything has to be finding a new formula, and JK is absolutely part of that formula. And we can't sit here and, you know, put together, you know, any analytics from, you know, the last few weeks that make any sense right now, because there's no Steph and it's a completely different team. So the combinations are what they are. We're going to do what we think is best. And, bring it tomorrow and bring the energy and see what we can do. And JK is going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, if I can, just to follow up on that. So what do you think about the chess match or sort of the discussion among your coaching staff trying to, I wouldn't say solve a problem, but maybe a little, being a little bit more blind because you don't have those analytics and doing some of this based on feel and film?
Yes, we have to do it based on feel, but we can also do it based on last night and having a tape to watch. And that's why I think that game was really helpful for us. You know, despite the loss, we learned a lot. The players learned a lot. And I think we'll have a concrete plan coming into tomorrow that we'll feel good about. And then, of course, we have to adapt and adjust based on how the game's going.
How comfortable are you know, you talk about Jimmy and Draymond being, you know, exhausted at the end of this kind of travel schedule. How comfortable do you think you'll be already by game three, really pushing their minutes back over 40 and beyond?
Well, we'll see. You know, I thought it was at least helpful last night that we didn't overdo it. You know, Draymond was at 29. I think Jimmy was at 34. So very manageable numbers. Hopefully that helps tomorrow. You know, they each had the day off today, just a film session, nothing on the court, no shoot around tomorrow morning. So hopefully they'll both feel great and ready to roll tomorrow. And you know, we'll see how the game goes.
Teresa mentioned last night that he had played with, you know, very very few reps with Jimmy. I know they, you know, ran some pick and roll last night. Just what do you think of that pairing and that combination and that action for those two?
They were really good together last night. I thought Trace's energy, his activity, his ability to finish. You know, he caught a couple lob dunks. He got a couple buckets in transition. So it was really fun to watch him play. And, you know, that's a guy who has done nothing but stay ready for 2-3 months since he's been out of the rotation. And so I couldn't be happier for Trace, couldn't be more proud of him for the professionalism, and I'm excited to, you know, get him back out there tomorrow, because he showed that he can be effective against his team, not only last night but in the regular season where he had some good games against them too.
Coach, for Janice Riddle from NBC in Minneapolis. I'm sorry I hopped on here late. Just about the incident that happened towards your player, can you comment overall your thoughts, your opinions on any fan directing a racial slur at any player during a game?
Well, it's unacceptable for any fan to do that to a player. And when you say it's unacceptable, there has to be action that goes with that term. And that's exactly what the Timberwolves did. You know, the security immediately ejected the fan. So we are really grateful for the way the T-Wolves handled the situation. I know that Minnesota nice is a phrase to describe Minnesotans, and I found that to be 100% true. You know, the last few days, every single person I ran into was so kind, and you know, everybody was saying the same thing. Like, I'm pulling for the T-Wolves, but you know, you guys are always welcome in our city, and it's a real thing. The hospitality in Minneapolis and Minnesota, and so I never take words from one person and label a city with that. There's just going to be people, individuals, sometimes they're drunk, whatever, who cross the line, and it's unfortunate, but it doesn't at all impact my view of the city of Minneapolis.
Just a quick follow-up on that. When fans have that kind of behavior, is what's your opinion on if they should ever be able to go to an NBA game again?
It's a good question. I kind of leave that up to the league to decide. I mean, they have their protocols, their rules. But these ugly incidents are, I don't think they're common, but you know, they do happen occasionally. And I mentioned earlier, they happened to me when I was in college. You know, not racial taunts, but you know, taunts about my father, who had been killed in a terrorist act, and you know, a year earlier or so, and. That was the most shocking moment of my entire playing career, to hear somebody, you know, saying something like that, that was so personally, you know, hurtful and painful and intentionally trying to hurt me. And so I empathize with every athlete, whether it's Draymond last night getting taunted about, you know, racial taunts, whether it's, you know, really anything. There's, you know, it seems like a few times a year you read about, you know, situations like this. I think Russell Westbrook in Utah a few years ago had to go through something like that. And it's unfortunate. It's, but like I said, I believe most of these incidents are pretty isolated, and it's really important that people handle them the right way, and the Timberwolves absolutely handled it the right way.
All right, there it is from Steve Kerr, covering rotations, lineups, the confidence of Jonathan Kuminga, the situation surrounding Draymond Green last night during the game, beyond unfortunate. Time for more of your phone calls coming up next to discuss any and all of that. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater, and it's Willard and Dibbs.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Edwards down the right side, met by Jackson Davis, backs up, now makes his move, power move to the rim, scores. His ankle is fine. 104-85. Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's been fun today. It's been fun this week. And I think when we see y'all next, we're going to be back at the Concourse inside Chase Center again on Monday.
I really look forward to that one. Those are fun shows.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you got tickets to Monday, make sure you come see us. And maybe, just maybe, we will all be high-fiving a 2-1 series lead with an opportunity in the pivotal game four,
right,
to take a 2-game advantage in the series.
And it's a 7 o'clock tip, which means you need to be inside the arena by 5 or 5:30. So we'll be on the air until 6. So come on out and see us.
Yep, absolutely. We got some calls that want to jump in. Let's get to them. But first, Triples for Autism is brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Warriors made only, 9 3-pointers.
One away?
Last night.
Yeah.
Got to have 10 for the donation. So this is not a donation sensation. Unfortunately, they just missed out on earning another donation from Petinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Buddy tried. His name is Buttered. He had 4 of them. Jimmy had 2. And a few others sprinkled them in. But the donation tracker is still amazing for Triples for Autism. It's at 66. And obviously another opportunity tomorrow. If you'd like to get involved and make a donation, we'd love that. Go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Petinelli's here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PetinelliFP.com. All right, let's get out to the phones.
Let's go to the phones.
Will in the East Bay. Hi, Will. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, hello.
Had a good day on the, thank you. Had a good day on the 9-hole par 3 over there in Pleasant Hill, and I'm ready for the tour, man.
Okay.
All right.
Any holes in one?
Rough. Oh, God, in my dreams.
Yeah, I know.
In my dreams.
You're trying, Will.
Hey, listen, guys. I kind of cut in late on your show, but one thing after watching the last game, you know, you got a lot of second-tier players coming off the bench on the Warriors and throwing up bricks. You got Jimmy really not engaged enough, okay? But I'm looking into this next game, okay? And all I could think, you know, was a movie, Saving Private Ryan at the end, where they ran out of ammunition and they're igniting those rockets and throwing them at the enemy, okay? You know what? Take the defense and just let the dogs go. Okay, if they foul, I'm not talking egregious here, gentlemen. I'm just saying, just get up in their face through the whole game, the whole game. And if you get a turnover, you know, maybe a quick basket here and there, fine. Somebody fouls out, next man up. Just let the dogs go. Let the defense go. Because we all talk offense, okay? But we can't rely on that. Maybe one guy here, Jimmy, you can rely on. But you know what? Call the dogs up on the defense. It's the best defense for the Warriors and the best defense in the NBA since he got on this team. Let him go. If we got to foul some guy out, that's okay. Just let him go because it's that time. It is that time.
Well, Will, I will tell you this, and thank you, Will. I think the intensity level that you're going to see tomorrow night is going to be different than what you watched last night. Last night had so many different factors to it. There's obviously it's the first game without Steph. Secondly, there's a feeling out factor the Warriors have amongst themselves, trying to figure out what works. You have players going in there who are lacking confidence. You have players going in there who haven't been playing at all. And then you have Minnesota's just unbridled passion for knowing that they absolutely had to win the game. And Steve has spoken to that, and you can agree with it or disagree, but But, you know, that leads us to tomorrow night where, and Steve just said it, if you were listening to when we just played his media availability today, he said that, okay, now we've got our group. Now we've got our group. Like, sure, everything is always subject to change, but now we've got an idea of what we're going to do, and it's on paper, and it's kind of what Will just said. It's like, all right, go be dogs. Go do it now. And sure, I think everybody knows that. The defense, and this has nothing to do with Steph's injury. It'd be true even if he was healthy. If they're going to do this, they're going to do this with defense, and they're going to have to be total maniacs out there completely.
Well, they're also going to have to start the game better, and I'm just looking at the log. They opened up 0 for 8, and it took them 4 minutes and 56 seconds to make a basket, during which time Minnesota went 5 for 8, and they had a couple of threes and an and one, and you're down 13 to nothing in a game that Minnesota was more rabid about winning. So, yeah, you're going to compete, and you're going to go for the victory and all the rest of it, but you open up with a 5-minute scoreless drought, and you're down 13 to nothing. The die at that point was cast. So you come home for game 3, you might get into a similar spot, and game 3 might get away from you, but I guarantee in one of these next 2 games, it's going to be like game 4 against Houston was, which was a very tight nip and tuck, and you're going to get down to the final 4 or 5 minutes, and it's going to be who makes the big plays in the clutch to win a tight ball game.
The longer you go, the intensity ramps up. You can see it. The longer you watch the Houston and Warriors series, and you can see once you kind of cross after game 3, someone takes the 2-1 lead, and then boom.
Yep.
You start smelling the next round. The other team starts smelling elimination, and it gets really, really hot and heavy, and I expect that's what it'll look like starting on Monday. Idris in Hayward next up. Hey, man, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. How's it going, fellas? Can y'all hear me clearly?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, nice. You know what? For me once, you know, that game was over in the first quarter, fellas. You know, it was like, well, it's like 28 to 7. But I do like how we fought back. JK got going, which is really good to see. My man Spencer looked like the moment was a little too big for him, but I expect him to bounce back. My boy Pods, Lord have mercy. Pods, man. I like his energy, but it's like he's Russell Westbrook without the good side. We need the good side to some of that up and down, you know what I'm saying? And as far as Dre is what he is. He's wild. He's not angry. He's wild. He's a little crazy. But at the end of the day, he's gonna be all. He knows he can't do this with Steph Curry. But I look forward to seeing he's gonna bounce back in the next game, and we're gonna know who we can run with. But other than that, looking forward to it. God bless y'all. Hopefully, we win this next game.
Yep. Thank you, Idris.
Idris, thank you very much.
Fool me one time. Shame on you.
Fool me twice.
Fool me. Can't get fooled again.
That's right.
Yeah, it's the old George Bush. Fool me, can't get fooled again. There's an old saying in Tennessee. I think they have it in Texas, and I know they have it in Texas, maybe Tennessee. Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me, can't get fooled again.
That's all true.
Shout out J. Cole.
Shout out J. Cole. Yeah, it's no role models, right? That's his song, and in the middle of the song, he has the actual quote from George.
Which George is it?
That is W.
W.
Yeah.
W. Yeah. It's not W. It's W.
Yeah. Diet Bush.
W.
Yeah. Not OG Bush. Second Bush. Right.
Right. Hey, Grandy.
Uh-oh.
What's up?
What are you about to do?
I think I'm going to let you guys take some more of the air over with the crossover along with Steiny and Goo.
Yeah.
Love that crossover.
Why did you just throw your hands up, Lucas? Why did you throw your hands up like that's a bad thing? What's the matter with you?
You haven't dominated enough for the last 4 hours?
Nope.
Have another.
Yep.
Nope. But you said tomato, not potato.
Ah,
yeah, there you go.
Hopefully that makes the back half of the
I
best.
I thought that was the best of the game right there. So
pretty good.
You're already done, Grandy. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. You want to do it again tomorrow?
No, I'm watching game 3.
We want to do it on Sunday?
No, it's Mother's Day.
You want to do it on Monday?
Can't wait for Monday.
Okay, Monday at Chase Center. And yes, every single female who has ever had a child, this weekend's for you. Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. Thank you for being with us throughout the week, all of the engagement and interaction. And we look forward to getting back to it on Monday. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.